two workers were killed, and 10 were hospitalized from the blast Monday at the Clairton Coke Works. One worker spoke with the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant on Tuesday about how the day unfolded.
Don Furco is a mechanical maintenance planner who just this week reached his 25th anniversary at the U.S. Steel plant. Furco was working in a building separate from the battery units where the explosion took place. Batteries are essentially a series of super hot ovens set to around 2,000 degrees.
It was about 10:45. All of a sudden, the whole building shook.
He thought maybe something had happened in his building.
And then I started getting text messages from people down the river asking me what happened. In other words, it shook the whole Mon Valley pretty hard. And then realized that it had to be from outside. So I followed my coworker out and walked over to the east side of the building and saw all the smoke coming from 13-15 battery.
Furco grabbed some protective gear and sprang into action.
I went straight to where the battery was to see if I could help anybody.
And what did you find?
It was chaos. Like, I'm not a veteran, but I imagine, and I don't want to liken it to a war zone, but, you know, you just saw everything mangled between 13 and 14 battery. It obviously had gone and blown out, you know, outwards through the east and west side of the battery. I found, you know, a couple of the guys that I knew pretty well who were on a break, basically right across from where the battery exploded at. So debris hit the lunchroom. You know, the one guy got knocked out of his chair from the blast. As they saw that they were okay, they both went down to try to help the first victims that were found that were actually blown clear of the battery.
Like, how far was that?
They got blown probably about 100 feet from where they were standing, or, you know, the managers were in the process of trying to evacuate everybody. The blast happened shortly after they realized that they had to evacuate within seconds.
Yeah. So you guys walk up and were you able to help anyone, or were they just kind of trying to get you out of there?
Number one, everybody was exercising caution because, you know, we just had an explosion. We're worried about a second one. But while I was checking on three members that I knew were hurt, apparently that's when they found Mr. Quinn, you know, deceased in rubble.
39-year-old Timothy Quinn was the father of three.
Somebody saw the top of his shoe and they dug him out. But unfortunately, he had already passed. No way to really give him CPR.
What happened next?
Well, I found his partner. So people that are responsible for the heating of the batteries, they work in pairs, you know, for many reasons, you know, amongst those being safety. So I found his partner who had just got out of there split second ahead of, you know, of Tim, and had to break the bad news to him that he passed away.
I don't know who was on the scene to be in charge, but like, did someone say, okay, we need everyone to leave, or what was going on?
I think everybody was just pretty much waiting to see if the two guys that were unaccounted for, if they would be pulled out, you know, what the plan was going to be to try to rescue or recover them.
By the afternoon, emergency crews from numerous communities were on the scene. They found one of the workers who was still alive.
So you had a procession of everybody passing him along on a stretcher into where there was an actual gurney to go and take him into the ambulance. Basically, there was no line between union and management. You know, everybody was one team trying to, you know, to get our employees, members, what have you, back safe.
That night, rescue crews found a second deceased plant worker. I spoke with Furco on Tuesday, the day after the blast.
So what's it like there today?
The mood is kind of everybody's shocked, you know, and upset by what happened yesterday. It's very quiet. They're trying to evaluate what's, you know, what they're going to do. I work in the shop where any shutting down of any of the batteries we would know about, haven't really heard a lot yet, but it sounds like we might be, you know, at least temporarily idle, you know, at least one of the batteries. I guess they're in the process of evaluating. We'll see.
But everyone's like back, like meaning they didn't say stay home today. Everyone's like back.
I'm sure that if somebody wanted to stay home because of yesterday, that I don't think that they would have an issue with that. We work with each other. You spend more time with your coworkers than you do your family. So it's almost like your second family, and it might be better psychologically to spend time with the crew and reflect on everything than it would be to be potentially home alone if your spouse, or if you live alone, isn't there, you know, to process everything. They have counselors apparently here inside the plant, in our union hall has our own emergency response team to talk to people as well if they'd rather talk to the union side than whoever the company has in here.
And is there anything you want to say to the company?
And so I know the root cause, probably not, but if the root cause was not fixing something that should have been repaired long ago, or some other mistake, that could have been prevented, I don't know how to, I don't know what else. I know I just kind of stopped dead there, but.
Ferko says he wants to wait and see before commenting on the company's liability, but says the plant is much safer and cleaner than it was when he started working there 25 years ago. U.S. Steel said the investigation into the cause of the blast is ongoing.
That was the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant speaking with Don Ferko, a worker at the Coke plant.